This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And this is our last podcast before the election. So next episode, we will either be very happy or very sad.
Yeah. So literally, just, who knows? I mean, silver lining, the text will stop, I guess. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I got six fundraising texts today. And before you're like, you know, you can block those. I block every single one of them, but they just keep coming. Okay.
They're coming from
There's
like
just
different
everyone wanting my money.
Different places. And then I've now gotten on some like polling sort of things. So now I'm getting poll texts. And then also they must have my number from like Michigan, or like, because my cell phone number is a Michigan number, I'm getting texts about Michigan stuff. And it's like, I don't even vote there anymore.
I know. It's New York, Texas, Utah.
Did you already vote?
A piece of this pie. Yeah, I voted like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
They do mail-in. It's like, whatever. I filled it out, forgot about it. Oh, wait. I couldn't forget about it because everything's been shoved down my throat ever since.
I like voting in person. I like sort of the magicalness of it all. And I think that, so the area I live in, New York, has a lot of young professionals, and my polling station is never busy at all. Like I'll be lucky if there's one or two other people in there. I haven't voted for presidential election yet there, so I'm sure it will be busier tomorrow than normal. But I think that because it's a lot of young professionals, a lot of them vote via like mail-in ballots from wherever they grew up, you know, because I feel like when you're in your early 20s, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm still going to vote in Nevada where I was born and raised, rather than...
Wait. So you haven't done early voting? You're literally waiting until...
No, I'm literally waiting for tomorrow. Yeah.
Just for the excitement of it?
Yeah, just for, you know, so for the glitz and glamour.
Greatest fear.
I am your greatest fear.
What if it is? Well, I just mean it's like pollsters all want the data as soon as they can, you know, boom, 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 boom. And early voting is just off the charts, boom, boom, boom. And you're just like, I'm going to keep them guessing. I'm going to, you know.
Well, yeah, but if you're a mail-in vote, it's like then who knows when they count those. I feel like in the 2020 election, remember, we were just waiting days and days and days for these random like city clerks to be tabulating ballots.
But why not do early in-person voting?
Because again, I like the drama of the day of.
You like the drama? And also,
the thing is, if I go the day of and there's a long line, like, oh darn, I'll have to stand in this line and
you're right, it's legally
right,
paid time
exactly.
off, so yeah, you're right.
So it's I'm kind of like, why would I waste a Saturday morning going to do in-person early voting when I could just go during work hours?
Is gonna stop you and be like, who did you vote for? And you'll be like,
I'm going, yeah,
have a coffee.
You never know.
There now. I'm going, 6 p.m.
I'm going to vote tomorrow morning. I'm going to wear my Biden-Harris shirt that I got after the last election, and I'm going to just channel all of the good juju that I can. But my real question is, what are you doing tomorrow evening? Are you watching? Are you not watching?
No, I don't think I'll watch. I've really just had to take a step back. Not from caring. It's not like I'm phoning it in. Again, I believe everyone should vote or exercise your, you know, democratic process. And I think there's real, you know, risk at play here. I'm not trying to say sound indifferent, but I am saying for my mental health, it's not something I'm dialed into at that level. So I won't actively watch it. I think it would just stress me out because I really don't think we'll have an answer tomorrow night, like, because it's a tight race and those are always going to take a little bit to claim, whether that's midnight or whether that's, you know, 4 days later. I can't like be dialed in all evening, you know. I haven't been able to do that since 2016. So I will just I'm sure I'll be kept abreast of like the most pressing news, such as Texas flipping blue, or I don't know. I have no
plan. The Iowa situation, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to go to a bar and have a moment? Well, it seems like, you know,
I think no. Yeah. Because so in the 2020 election, which granted was like COVID and so slightly different, like we can't necessarily compare it. Apples to oranges, but I did go to I went over to somebody's house and was watching the election results come in. And I feel like because that year all of the in-person voting was Republicans and then the mail-in ballots were from Democrats, it was just like such a onslaught of like, oh my gosh, Trump is gonna win again, like Trump's got all of these votes. And so I went home and I was super depressed and I was like crying and I was in bed and blah blah blah, and then I couldn't really sleep, and then the next morning I woke up and at that point things had settled more and it was like, wait a second, I think the Democrats actually might win because we have all of these mail-in ballots and, you know, they're such and such percent Democrats. So I kind of feel like it's not that helpful to be watching the polls, like the stuff come in immediately, because it's like you're getting such a limited picture, and they can say like, oh, 1% reporting in Nevada, it's a Trump landslide or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, this isn't really like useful information
yet. Yeah.
So I think I might like tomorrow evening sort of go about my business, do like work on some other
social
stuff,
media
like, like not really be focused on social media, and then maybe like either tomorrow night before I go to bed, like sort of check in, or on Wednesday morning, like check in and see where things are.
Just have a support buddy, you know.
Yes. Now, granted, if I am, if Kamala somehow wins in a landslide, or like Trump wins like he did in 2016 sort of night of, then I haven't like really even been allowing myself to think of that possibility, and I sort of don't feel prepared at all to handle that should it arise. So let's just hope that it doesn't.
Exactly.
And
that's it. We're just manifesting a non drama night, you know. It's just gonna be like, oh yeah, democracy carries on, Kamala wins, we'll hold her accountable, blah blah blah. That's all it's gonna be, you know.
I will say this though,
putting into the universe,
I would sort of be a little bit pissed off if she won the election tomorrow night, like late in the night, you know, like if it was like a 1 a.m sort of thing, because I do like the moment where Biden was declared the winner, like during the day, was such like a celebratory moment. Like, like I knew it happened before I even checked my phone, because like car horns were beeping, like people were screaming, like it was crazy. And so I wanna, if she wins, I really would love that feeling again. And
you want the 4 day standstill? Well, not the drama of it, day,
but I just want it to happen like during waking hours,
right.
So that I can be excited with other people, and so that I can, you know, like text people and be like, we're going out tonight, right? And not have it be like 1 a.m where it's like, oh, I'm in bed.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, yeah, it seems like there has to be a way to reframe how we count the votes, because again, like you said, like everything's shifted in the modern world of mail-in and voter ballots and like all of this. So it's like, yeah, do we need to have a play-by-play night of? It doesn't seem so, but we'll see.
Well, and then it's like, I don't think that they can start counting any of the votes until tomorrow. So it's like, you have all these mail-in ballots and stuff, but they still all have to be like run through the system. Yeah. I don't know. And then it's different by like county, and it's crazy.
maybe what I'll do tomorrow is just watch Veep. I'll just live in that world. I'll just live in that fantasy world for a little bit. Find the humor in the trauma, and then I'll be ready to face either way, you know.
Well, you know something else that you could do tomorrow? Actually, I don't know if this is out yet, but you could listen to Armie Hammer's new podcast.
Oh, wow. He has his own podcast, or he is going to be on a podcast?
No, he's launching his own podcast called the Armie Hammer Time Dinner Podcast.
Served. Oh, no.
And the tagline was, Army sits down with extraordinary people from all walks of life as he rebuilds his own. Don't worry, we feed him before every episode.
Oh my God. No.
Yes.
That was generated by AI. That's just, that's lazy. That's
no, he's launching it. Ends. It says that's his amazing. First guest is Tom Arnold, who is like an actor. I don't like not, I'm like, okay. And then the second guest is his mother. So he's really doing a great job booking people for this show as he's, you know, trying to relaunch his life, I guess, post cannibalism.
That is so funny. It's Army Hammer time. Wow, what a throwback, honestly. It's brave to be that referential to absolutely nothing. Who is this for? Army Hammer time. That's hilarious. Mad props.
I'm obsessed with the figure that is Army Hammer in Hollywood history because it's such an enigma of like, oh, he goes from playing the Winklevoss twins to being like the hottest person ever in Call Me By Your Name to then, oh, wait, he's actually maybe a cannibal. And then they like raid his house and find all of those mannequins and things and creepy stuff. And yeah, it's like,
yeah. Well, I mean, under that, it's like serious allegations of abuse, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So that's cute, I guess. Good for him. Cancel culture loses yet again.
Well, I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, he can try to relaunch this. How big, like how many people do we think are listening to this podcast? I can't imagine that many.
Well, is it like, is he doing it, you know, in his basement or is he backed by like One Media or podcast?
I think he does. I think, I'm sure he has a podcast network, but yeah, it's like, exactly. But it's still like, how, like, is this going to be a, like, oh, he has 10 episodes and then gets dropped sort of thing? You know?
I think, honestly, maybe it's time we have our moms on our podcast, Matt. That's an untapped opportunity.
I'm going to say no to that, but thank you for that offer. If you want to bring your mom on the podcast.
Yeah, my mom's an avid listener.
I'm more than happy to have her.
Every episode, so I'll see how she responds to
this. Wait, what does she say? Does she comment on me?
Oh, yeah. She thinks she's really just inspired by you on the daily. She's like, wow, that Matt guy, he's just one of my own.
Unwell, but continuing on.
Yeah.
Okay, what news do you have? I feel like this is a light news.
Okay, week. Yeah, no. I have important news. Zoe Kravitz and Channing Tatum broke up.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yeah, which I feel bamboozled. I feel taken on. You know, I'm usually pretty good at a read. I feel like, you know, whatever. But I was really charmed by their press tour for Blink Twice. I was like, wow, this odd couple makes sense. I find them very endearing. You know, I liked their energy. And then they just like break up as soon as the movie's done. It's just like, it's not sitting well with me. Okay, it feels performative and fake news. And I don't like that.
One of us really hated that movie, and I'm beginning to think that maybe now they had the right read on the situation. And also, luckily, this means that we won't have to get a Blink Twice 2.
They are set up to work on another movie together. I don't remember if she's directing it or she's starring in it, but they insist that it's amicable and they love working together, and it was really just a matter of lifestyles where he has to be in LA a lot for his, you know, daughter, his parenting. And she's like, no, thanks. I want to be in New York. So again, low drama, low stakes. It was like they started dating, I don't know, 3 years ago, got engaged, whatever.
I can sort of relate to Zoe Kravitz because that's kind of our relationship where I'm like, you're like, I want to live in LA with my daughter. And I'm like, ugh, lame.
Look at us. We made it through. We're stronger than Zanning ever was. So.
And we are still working together on projects after all this time.
Very amicable. Very demure. Very thoughtful. But yeah, they're no longer the it couple of Taylor Swift's circle. So another one bites the dust.
R.I.P. Do we think it's Taylor's fault?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Wait, think you know what story like, I didn't bring up, but I am actually now shocked that we didn't discuss yet.
What one?
The Shawn Mendes situation.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes, because now he's finally admitted he's like figuring out his sexuality or whatever. And it's like, okay, yes, we've all known for quite some time, but glad that you are finally like,
it's like
admitting this.
You don't know it, but it's like that episode of The Office where Michael Scott spreads a rumor that one of the characters, Andy, is gay. And since everyone starts saying it, he's like, well, am I? And I feel like that's what's happening to Sean, is everyone has just been like, you're gay. And he's now like, I guess I'll write a song about this confusion. I don't know. But no, I'm happy for him.
The thing that I feel like as a gay person is that, and obviously, like, everyone's sexuality is different, but I do think that there are a lot of gay people who are in denial about their own sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where everybody else is very on to them, and and they think that they're somehow like keeping this secret.
Right.
And I do like not,
you
I don't
see yourself in that.
Yes, and I don't necessarily think that the solution to that is sort of like forcing them out of the closet necessarily. With celebrities, I feel like it's always, you know, everything is weird, but I do think that it is nice to like when you sort of know to signal to the other person like, hey,
right,
just FYI. At some point, I think that you will realize this and reckon with this yourself. And I am a supportive person who is like here waiting for that to happen.
We made a safe space for him.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So did we as the public necessarily do that for Shawn Mendes? I don't know. But I do think that a lot of his fans and stuff are excited for that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the David Archuleta 2024 to happen to Shawn Mendes, because I can't wait to see Shawn Mendes like wearing a lot of mesh, going to raves, getting like even more muscly somehow. So I'm excited about that. For
do you
for
like
Camila,
the new song? Or has he
I didn't listen. I don't,
yeah, no, that's the thing I got, is the news was all about the,
yeah, it's like I could not care less if he has a song or not. No,
but I heard nothing about the song itself.
No,
maybe it's that he's teasing his new album and he didn't play the song, but I don't remember. Yeah,
but I'm, as far as I'm concerned, it's like, okay, check this off the list. Now back to Hugh Jackman.
Oh,
we got Hugh to work on.
Taylor Swift, is Taylor Swift still
Hugh Jackman or Taylor
too deep in that closet?
Yeah, and I mean, I think for myself personally, the correct person to go after is Jake Gyllenhaal, because I'm like, hello.
You neighbors.
Well, and I'm like, we're right sort of in the same age demographic, you know, like there's something I feel like that could, a spark could fly in an interview. Oh, who knows?
Wow. But I lose Jake. He was like my celebrity crush my whole life.
Yeah, but then you can be friends with Drake and come to our wedding. Wouldn't that be exciting for you?
You're right. No, that would be great. I mean, I hear he's quite the weirdo, but I would welcome that experience for sure.
Okay, but who have you heard that from? Lesbian Taylor Swift? Like, he seems lovely to me. In the
photos, but I do have a story about Taylor Swift and homophobia.
Oh,
I don't know
if
you saw this. Jason Kelsey, aka Travis Kelsey's brother.
Yes.
Okay. Jason Kelsey was on his way to a football game. I don't know, whatever. He's like walking down the street trying to be normal, and everyone's harassing him and like following him. And all these fans are like, give me a picture, like give me a signature, whatever. And then in the background, some kid, some like teen or young adult is like, hey, Jason, how do you feel about your. I don't remember the phrase. Okay, it's not funny, but he says, how does it feel that your brother is an F slur for dating Taylor Swift? And, you know, Jason Kelsey, king of all, turns around, grabs his man's phone and throws it to the ground and then storms off. Well, he picks up the phone after throwing it to the ground and storms off with it. And that's the story I saw at first. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, I don't care. It's like the same thing with Chapel Roan. It's like these people have gotten so annoying that I respect any human reaction to it. Like, you know, using these sort of like 2000s slurs for like shock value. It's annoying. Like, I get it. It's annoying. And I was like, yeah, king, like, sure. He didn't punch him. He didn't like, you know, kick him in the balls. He just took the phone out of his space, his personal space, and said, fuck you.
Said, I'm going to put this in the ground's personal space and said.
Yeah, exactly. But then I saw in preparing for this episode another piece of the puzzle, which I am curious about your reaction to. So,
okay.
So this happens. He does that. The guy follows him. He's like, hey, give me your phone. Give me my phone back. Give me my phone back. And Jason turns around and throws it at him and says, who's the F slur now?
And, you know, I have to support that, unfortunately. I have to say, great. Love that. Who's the faggot now? I should start doing that. I should just start saying that to people. It feels correct. I love it as a catchphrase. And it also is like, and it's also like what? Like who? It does beg the question, well, who is the faggot now? Because it's are asking, any of these people?
Yeah, like who are? Yeah.
Like, and also, what does that even mean in the first place? Like, I'm like,
he's turning it.
I'm like, the only gay person in this conversation is Taylor. So I don't understand why.
Because all these like rumors that Travis Kelce's gay and he's using Taylor Swift as a beard because he has like a relationship with his co-player or something.
Okay. I mean, I'm also, that works for me too. That works for me too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the Republican, is it?
No. It was like, or maybe it's not one of his teammates. It's like someone he used to play with, but is now like one of his groupies who's always going with him on these trips and stuff. And so people were like there was this whole story that they got married in like some sort of island ceremony. I don't remember. And that Taylor Swift is like in on it or whatever, so that they can both live their queer dreams in private. I don't know. So I think that it is something that's been in the ether that like there's queerness, and I guess Jason was like, enough is enough. And then he took it a step further and was like, you know what? Homophobia is alive and well, and I'm gonna use gay as an insult for lame. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. Stuff
it's like he almost had it, and then just using the slur really himself just really took the power out of his reaction towards it. Because now it feels like, well, why was he so offended by that? You know, because at first I was like, yeah, call out these stupid kids for thinking it's like funny to use these slurs or, you know, sexist insults or whatever it is. But to then turn around and use it himself, it's sort of like, okay, so was he just reacting from a macho, hetero, like, don't call my brother gay way? So,
yeah.
Something to think about.
Although, also, is he reacting in a supportive brother sort of way in trying to protect his secretly gay brother who he knows is gay and defend his reputation?
So complicated. Yeah.
It's like perhaps
he's going to throw us off the scent that he knows that we know that he knows
right
that Travis is gay.
I do understand that the F slur is not a word, like, you know, that it is a slur that, like, everybody, that we should not be letting just everybody use, and it is very hurtful and has a very hurtful history. However, I think it's a very funny word, and so I'm sort of like, in various situations, I will allow it. I'm like, in this situation, I actually think it's pretty entertaining, so I'm willing to not actually charge anyone.
The gay community in this accepts.
I'm like, if it's funny and it's not actually directed at a gay person in a derogatory way, then okay, great. We can chat.
Well, that's great. That's good. I'll start using it on the day.
If you want to use it with me, you are more than welcome.
I could never.
I don't know if you should just start using it other places and then say, yeah. Oh, my gay friend told me I could say this. Ass.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but yes. If you want to ever be like, wow, Matthew, that was faggy, you are welcome to say that.
I literally could not. I would not.
Say it on the podcast right now, Shelby, so that we can make sure that you never run for political office. Do you have any other stories? The only thing else I have is that Kamala Harris showed up to SNL.
Oh yeah, hold my palm, Lola.
Hold my palm, Lola.
Keep calm
and carry on. Keep
Kamala and carry on, Lola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cute. It was cute. Good for her. You know who rubbed me the wrong way on SNL though is John Mulaney. Like, I go hot and cold. Like, I'm like, okay, he's funny, and then he's just kind of annoying too, and he seems to have leaned into the annoying element. But I did, oh my gosh, Chapel Roan premiered a new song on SNL. Did you like?
Yes.
Did you listen?
Yes, I did. So I feel like I used to be obsessed with SNL, and yes, then I think we were in a real dry spot for the last like 4 or 5 years, and yeah, maybe even longer than that, honestly, because time is a weird construct. But this season, I don't know if it was maybe good last season, I just was unaware, but this season has really, I think, been strong. There's a lot of funny people. I feel like some of the dead weight is gone. Everybody seems to be like on their A game, and there's been a lot of skits and things that I've enjoyed. And yeah, so I watched this whole episode, and I did like the Chapel Roan song, the new one. It's like country sort of. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued as to if she's leading up to a new album, and mm-hmm, now we have two songs off of it, or if she's just kind of releasing random songs to release them. Now, but
because I think she also played a new song like on stage once, but never released it as like a official recording. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and like this isn't streaming anywhere, so yeah, it's sort of unknown if this is from a new album or she just was like, you know what, why not just play a new song on SNL?
Yeah, I don't know because they do like sometimes this will happen. Like, okay, I think people do like to play new songs on SNL, and a lot of times if somebody has an album coming out, they'll play whatever the single is and then another song off the album while they're on SNL, but a lot of times then that song isn't released right away either. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a Bruno Mars song that he played when I was there watching a live recording. This was when I was in college, and then the song didn't come out for months afterwards. So... Mm-hmm. It is the new Chapel Roan song on Insta or on Spotify?
No.
So yeah, so who knows when we'll get that, I guess.
Yeah.
And if it will be on an album or if it will be separately, I'm sure it will come out eventually. I think if you're playing something on SNL, it's not gonna never come out. But it could be quite some time before it arrives.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Do you want to talk about, or do you want to do Love It or Hate It?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do Love It or Hate It.
Okay. I'll go first because I have a sort of SNL related one.
Oh, cute.
So way back in the day when I was obsessed with SNL, one of my sort of go-to ways of finding new musicians to listen to was just like who performs on SNL. And SNL musical guests, I feel like, usually fall into one of two categories. They obviously get really, or I guess three, they obviously get like big name people with hits like Chappell Roan, or they had Billie Eilish last time. And then sometimes they'll get like old legendary people like Paul Simon or Stevie Nicks, even though they're really like don't have hit songs. It's like, okay, it's a big name for them to get. But then I also think there's a third camp where they get these really, really sort of unknown, undergroundy people who are like on their first album. And obviously they, it's, you know, something to do with like Universal Records or whatever. Like there is some kind of, somebody's reaching out to SNL to book these people because they're not like mainstream enough for people to know. But I started, you know, a while ago, whenever they would announce one of these people who I'd never heard of before, like sort of going and listening to some of their music, because I feel like there are some pretty cool people in there, like Haim and St. Vincent and who else might like, yeah, like just people like that, like way back when they were still on their first album. So they announced the lineup for the next couple of weeks on SNL. One of them is Charlie XCX with Charlie XCX, which I'm so excited for. But the other one is this guy named McGee is going to be the musical guest, and it's spelled M-K period G-E-E, but it's pronounced McGee, annoyingly. And so I started listening to his music, and I'm just like obsessed. It's a weird kind of, like, I don't even know how to describe it, like guitar, but kind of like more techno-y, but I don't know, like alternative kind of stuff. I love, love, love it. I've listened to it constantly for like the last week and a half. All of his songs sort of sound the same. So you just kind of like put it on his, you know, shuffle and then just let it play. It's very good working music, I think. But I'm very into him. This is my new music obsession.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Should I do new music? A recommendation to you.
Oh yeah, what do you have?
I've been listening to, I need to pull it up, oh my god,
Beyonce.
No, it's called Pushing Daisies by Ash and Suki Waterhouse. Oh, which, like, honestly, who am I to care at
to
all
be listening to Suki Waterhouse? I love this.
It's a very good song. Very chill, very vibey. Like, very, like, you know, it feels like it could be in, like, a 500 Days of Summer style, you know, movie or a Netflix show, you know? It has that that quirky in good vibe. So that's been on repeat. I think it's definitely a new song. I don't remember if it's a single or if it's like on a full album, but it's been very lovely, and I've gotten my whole sister gang into listening to it too. So, look at me. I'm basically like a connoisseur of new music, basically.
We're influencers. Well, I mean, famously, you did have a music podcast for years. So.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Which I had a dream about. I like met another Taylor Swift podcaster, and I was like, I hosted Swiftish. And they were like, oh my God, you were our inspiration.
This was a dream.
This was a literal dream. I was like at an LDS church during it, and it was a whole thing. But that was an important moment of self-validation. So
wait, Shelby, okay, I actually like really do need you to sort of weigh in on the Mormon phenomenon more currently, because they just had a screening for Heretic, movie.
Wait, have
with
you seen it?
Hugh Grant. No, I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. It's like where like where Hugh Grant like kidnaps Mormon missionaries. We're gonna have to do an episode. Well, I'm like, we're gonna have to do an episode on that. But then I'm like, when does that come out? Because I feel like I might be gone during it whenever that happens. But they had a screening in Salt Lake City where Whitney Rose from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Whitney, whatever her name is, from the Mormon Swingers had dueling screening. So like when people came in, they had to decide whether they were a believer or a non-believer, and the believers went to, you know, Whitney whatever, and the non-believers went to Whitney Rose.
That's honestly hilarious.
And I'm like, people are just realizing now that Mormons are friggin' weird.
Oh, we're so weird. I love it.
And between this movie and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and The Secret Lives of Mormons and that show we did an episode on with Andrew Garfield. Yeah. And then also now there's like a selling Salt Lake City it's a new Bravo like real estate show, but it's set in Salt Lake. And it's like people praying over their houses and like needing houses that are close to the temples or whatever. I'm just like, this is so fascinating. Like, this world is so strange, and I love every second of it, and I need more commentary from you, I think.
Yeah. Well, Rob and I want to produce a film that's like a direct, historically accurate telling of Joseph Smith and like how weird he was and like talking through hats and going gold, you know, hunting for gold and stuff, and like obviously darkly, on a dark note, like
sexually assaulting children,
marrying children, but I think that's next. Heretic is interesting to me because it's like so under the radar at first. Like, it was like they were sort of nondescript missionaries. It became obvious to Mormons that they were Mormons. Like, you know, they had the name tags, they had the bikes, whatever. But I thought they could play it as like a nondescript, just religious organization. But it seems like, I'm curious to know how deep into like Mormon theology they'll go, you know, like, because on one hand, it could just be a nightmare scenario where these young girls are forced to reckon with a faith crisis in the form of a demented man torturing them for lulls. But if they like bring up actual Mormon beliefs, I'm going to be just so dialed in, you know?
Well, because it is a little bit like, it is a little bit like, okay, well, you're putting the Mormons as the victims in this situation, so we're naturally going to be on their side. So it seems like you wouldn't necessarily want it to, like, it would be hard to make it a takedown of Mormonism. Right? Yeah.
It could be like Immaculate, where it's like she's like has to face reality, even though she still wants to believe in it.
Right. True.
So. Oh, boy. True. Oh, boy. But yeah, no, I think there's less of a respect towards Mormonism, which for whatever reason was sort of like allowed to be its own thing. And now people are like, why haven't we made
Wait, it comes out next week. We can do that as our episode next week.
Oh my gosh. Okay, perfect. Love it.
Okay, I'm excited. It has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good. How many reviews so far?
Oh, I don't know. Let me look.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty impressive. That's a lot higher.
Based on 83 critics' reviews.
Oh my god. Really?
So, yes.
Wow.
People are loving Heretic, which people keep calling Heretic, and I'm like, that's
He's like you've never been to church before, okay?
It's right, no.
Heretic. Like, please. Please pick up a Bible.
I was watching something else recent. Oh, I was watching this off-Broadway show called Teeth that's about a girl in a like a small town church like youth group that's obsessed with virginity, and she has teeth in her vagina that are like attacking people. And it's supposedly, I guess it's based on a movie, but I was sitting there watching it and I'm like, you can always tell when the person who wrote this has like an intimate experience with the church and knows all the lingo and everything, and when they're sort of like co-opting that from the outside, and just like what a unique set of like verbiage and life skills and memories like those super religious settings have that you like can't get elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'll have to like, I'll gather all of my siblings' missionary stories and really, really do my due diligence to cover the horrors of missionary work.
If I would like to know what is the weirdest thing that each of them had to do as a missionary somebody else. I guess we can finish on one story that I have about Mormon missionaries, which is that there was a woman at this church who I knew, and she said that she was out like on the side of a hill, kind of like on their property gardening, and these two Mormon missionary girls came up and were like, oh, hey, like, can we help you with your gardening or whatever? And this woman was like, well, I knew I wasn't going to become a Mormon, but I sort of wanted like free help weeding this giant lot. So I was like, sure, great. Like, I'll take these two girls to help me. So the girls helped her weed this whole thing, and you know, we're talking to her about Mormon stuff, and she was like, oh, like, no, thank you, like, not really interested, but whatever, like, thanks for helping us weed. And then she went back home, and she realized later that night that like the entire side of that hill had been covered in poison ivy, and that she had like terrible poison ivy, but she's like, these poor missionary girls must be like covered in this.
That's
so she was like, I after that I could really never speak to them again, like I we had to cut off contact.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, no, there's lots of good stories.
We will not be covering Heretic this week. We will be talking about the Agatha All Along Marvel TV series on Thursday.
Did you like the musical moment?
Yes, I did like the sort of like Daisy Jones in the Six rendition of it that they did halfway through. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a hit song. But we'll be talking about that. I'm almost done with watching it, and so that will be on Thursday's episode. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you guys then. Bye.